Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Dalton Show on RT Radio 1.
That lovely. That's Ava. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. We've a great lineup today. Josh Groban. Yeah, Josh Groban, him, the actor, the singer, Ally McBeal, Muppets, hundreds and hundreds of songs and millions of sales. He's going to be with us after 4 o'clock. We're going to be talking to the brand new man on the chase. He's Irish. The Menace, they're calling him. The Menace. Dara Ennis is the Menace, and we're going to be talking to him. And loads more besides. This made us all smile this morning. Right? I don't know who put this up or where it came from. But if you were a child when Red Red Wine was released, as in this song. Red, red wine. You be 40-ish now. Get it? You be 40-ish now. You see what they did there? You be, that's very clever, isn't it? That's very clever. Except you wouldn't be. You'd be about 37. But anyway, let's not get figures get in the way of a good gag. Let's not get pedantic on a Friday. It's not a pedantic day, is it? Friday isn't a pedantic day. You know, if you're a pedant, Friday isn't a good day for you. You know, you can be a pedant on a Tuesday. You know, you can split hairs and pick somebody up on things like that. But a Friday isn't the day for that sort of stuff. Marion Keyes has been tweeting. I'm going to the dentist, she says, for not one, but two fillings. W-A-N. That's the way she said it, the way she spelt it. And she says, I'm putting on my high boots and good coat. An outing is an outing. Am I right? Of course you're right. We get so few opportunities to go out. You might as well dress up even if you're going to the dentist. Two fillings. Ooh, ah, ee. Speaking of going out, we got a little present in from Ri Mishima. Or it could be Mishima. She's the shop manager in Chester Beatty in Dublin Castle in Dublin 2. And she sent us in their full collection of face masks. So as it happens, there were six people in the office. So I gave them one each. I chose one for each person. I gave Neil the lines and right around. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And I said, only wear them going out. And then I thought, well, we don't have much opportunity to go out. My one here is in blue to bring out the colour of my eyes. And it's the poet with his friends in the orchard at night. From Prince Beshunger's Rose Garden, which is obviously in the Chester Beatty, and it's a beautiful thing, just a beautiful thing. They're lovely, aren't they? And it'd be great if you had an opportunity to show them off, but we don't have any opportunity. We also got in more and more and more charity calendars. Keep them coming in. I won't do any today. I'm just looking, Rehoming Cork Pets. That's in there. I'll mention it on Monday or Tuesday. And we're going to have our Charity Calendar of the Year awards. And that'll be between now and Christmas sometime. So keep them coming in. The Ray Darcy Show, RTE, Donnybrook, Dublin 4. Stephanie Preisner is on Twitter as well. She's talking about words that people can't pronounce. And a lot of people say they can't pronounce hyperbole. 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 We had Stephen Fry on The Den last weekend. And he was telling us a great story about when he was voicing the first J.K. Rowling Harry Potter book. And he came across a sequence of words which he couldn't get over. Harry Potter pocketed it. But every time he went to say it, he went into the sort of machine gun thing. So he'd go, Harry Potter pocketed it. So he rang J.K. Rowling and he said, listen, is there any way of rephrasing this? You know, could I say Harry Potter put it in his pocket? And she said, no, I insist that you read it verbatim as I've written it. So he went back and he tried and eventually he managed to say Harry Potter pocketed it. And then the twist in the tale is that in every subsequent book, J.K. Rowling deviously put in that same phrase, that same sentence, Harry Potter pocketed it. So he had to jump that hurdle every time. Hermione, speaking of Harry Potter, Hermione is a name that people find it difficult to pronounce. You see, it's the way it's spelled, isn't it? H-E-R-M-I-O-N-E. You would go Hermione, Hermione. It's Hermione, Hermione. So that's that. And emails to ray@rte.ie. Thank you very much for all your emails. Paul was on, since the Den started back, our two boys have been watching every Sunday and they love it. That's great to hear. They're quite young, so I'm not sure if they fully understand what's going on. but they seem to enjoy the mayhem. It's the colour and the mayhem and the noise. Connor couldn't remember Zig and Zag's name after the first week of the den. The following Sunday, he was asking to watch Squab and Swiggle. It took us a few minutes to cop on who Squab and Swiggle were. So I must call Zig and Zag, Squab and Swiggle on Sunday. Hope you're keeping well, says another Ray, I think. Attach, please see pic of Den original T-shirt that the Den sent into my daughter Aoife's boyfriend's own Kenny Bolton Glass, County Wicklow, when he was sick back in 1994. He was aged 4. He was a patient in the National Children's Hospital, so they sent the T-shirt in there. He still has the T-shirt after all those years. He also has photos of you from that time. He has had a few setbacks since then, but he's doing well, which is great. It would be lovely to give a mention on the Den if possible. We'll give him a mention on the radio, maybe on the Den as well. And Billy Morrissey has been on. He says, just dropping a line about the Woody's DIY Christmas advert. It's a brilliant ad, isn't it? With Mrs. Higgins. It's exactly the message that Christmas should be, especially this year, with people being on their own and maybe doing a simple gesture, no matter how small, maybe the best present of all for lots of people. What do you and your listeners think? I think it's a brilliant idea, Billy. It's a lovely, so many lovely ads. And it is, I suppose, a product of the pandemic because people are looking at the world we live in and they're looking how people may have changed during lockdown and the sentiment and the emotion in the Christmas ads. Now, maybe I'm overstating it and maybe I'm imagining things, but it seems to be through the roof this year. Like, think about the Super Value ad and Mrs. Higgins in the Woody's ad. And there's loads of other ads as well, which are brilliant. So it is. That's a nice thought, Billy Morrissey in Cork, that a simple gesture, and there's no bigger present or better present than your time. We can all flash the cash if we have it and buy a present and give it to somebody. But to actually give somebody your time, that's a very thoughtful thing to do. And somebody was on about Shane, who was on the quiz yesterday. He mentioned he was in a band called Socks in the Frying Pan. I missed that. He must have said it very quickly, Socks in the Frying Pan. And they're just saying that they're brilliant and we should get them on the show, maybe when we get to the other side. And Eamon has been on to say, could I get on the quiz, please? I try to get through every day, but I can't. Or maybe just send me out a mug. So we have your email address, Eamon, and we'll be in touch. We will be in touch. Speaking of the quiz... It's our quiz of today. Today being the 20th of November. And we have 10 questions from the news events, scientific breakthroughs, TV, film, pop songs, births and deaths from over the years and the decades and the centuries. 5 questions each. We're looking for 2 people to come on after 4 o'clock and to lure you on, to entice you on. Can we tempt you? With a 2-night stay at Ballinahinch Castle Hotel, surrounded by 700 acres of pristine wooded grounds and one of Connemara's oldest landscape gardens. You will enjoy, if you win, a 2-night stay in a beautiful Riverview room with breakfast, a guided walk of the estate and a private tour of the walled garden, and you get to plant your own tree on the estate. And there's loads of other things to do as well, planting trees. You can go clay pigeon shooting or cycling or hiking or whatever. More details at ballinahinchcastle.com. So... our qualifying question today, if you want to take part, which county in Ireland is known as the Kingdom? Which county in Ireland is known as the Kingdom? 1850-715-900. That's 1850-715-900. Thank you. The other thing I saw today is, you know, Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke, yeah, from Mary Poppins. You know Dick.
With tuppence for paper and strings, you can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight. With your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh,
here we go!
Let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through.
That'd lift your spirits, wouldn't it? Now, the reason I'm playing that is that we spotted today that Dick Van Dyke will do a personal message for you. So he'll say happy birthday to you, but maybe sing a bit of that, or whatever you like, but it'll cost you £830 sterling for a personal message. This is becoming more and more popular. Celebrities are offering themselves. I'm just looking at there, Caitlyn Jenner. If you want her to give you a personal, bespoke message, guess how much? No, higher. $2,500 Basil Brush, boom, boom. $58. William Roach, you know William Roach, $58 for him as well to give you a bespoke happy birthday. And The Undertaker from WWF, $920. There you go, Dick Van Dyke, £830. Red Red Wine was originally written and performed by the great Neil Diamond. I know that. Was it Neil Diamond? It was, yes. UB40 had that hit. It's nearly den time, Ray. What about Too Fat? That was Gaz too. Any chance of a comeback in 2021? Don't think so. And I find Maneuver difficult to say. Maneuver. And then people find Specific. They say Pacific as in the ocean instead of specific. And then somebody else says, Ray, people in Ireland cannot pronounce the number three. They all say tree. It's so embarrassing to hear this. Is it? Look, I'm from the Midlands. I was a, where does that go? Where does this go? Over there. They're treedom. So I've had to work on my THs over the years. And as long as people know what you're saying, I think you shouldn't get too upset. The Woody's ad is brilliant. The best is super value. Yes, we've established that. And I think unless there's something waiting in the wings to topple it off its throne, it will get best Christmas ad of 2020. And it's a big title this year because they're all so good. 5 on 5, 5 on RadioRT.ie. Good afternoon. Damien Dempsey and the Dubliners. And A Rocky Road to Dublin. They call those songs very wordy songs. That's a W-O-R-D-Y as opposed to W-O-R-T-H-Y. Because there's a lot of words in them. Very wordy songs. Josh Groban is my favourite singer. His version of Oh Holy Night is a super version. And Josh's version of She Moves Through the Fair is worth a listen. Regards, John O'Brien and Wicklow. How you doing, John? And he does a lovely version of Declan O'Rourke's Galileo as well. The Woody's Christmas ad is really lovely, says that person. I think we all agree on that. And Mrs. Higgins is a star. I've noticed that English people say sixth instead of sixth. And they say fifth instead of fifth, says Naomi in Donnybrook. And don't they make their THs into Fs? The truth. You're not telling the truth. The truth? What's the truth? Irish people say Derby for Derby. Yeah, well, you see, like, we used to have the Derby House Hotel in Kildare. And then every year we had the horse race. And for some reason, D-E-R-B-Y became Derby then. It was the Derby, it wasn't the Derby. Yeah. Or maybe it's just the posh people to say Derby. Like, we were known as the Dorseys of Camping Crescent. Well, you were one of the Dorseys of Camping Crescent. I said, no, I'm a Darcy. A Darcy. And I know where this goes. Do you know where this goes? Now, 5 on 5, 5 on, RayRT.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, I think she actually likes me, Sinead. despite what you might think from her constantly slagging me on playback. 5 on 5, 5 on, RayRT.ie. Try 100, Ray. 100. I've a really hard time pronouncing anemone, is it? As in a sea, anemone. Best wishes from Rowley in Massachusetts. That's Ursula there, who's in Rowley in Massachusetts. And cork is a word not pronounced correctly by most presenters. Quark or Quark. That's the way it's spelt there. C-W-Y-O-R-K. That's Quark. And or K-Y-O-O-R-K, Cork. Anyway, Angela says it's Cork. And she's a Cork person residing in the lovely city of Limerick. Now, yesterday we spoke with consultant paediatrician Dr. Niamh Lynch, who was looking for a Christmas tree that would be COVID friendly or COVID proof for the children's ward in the Bon Secours Hospital down in Cork. Niamh is back on the line. How are you doing, Niamh?
I'm good. You said it right. You said Cork right.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you. But you're originally from Cork?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, we've had loads of suggestions. Some of them you heard while you were on. A projector, a felt tree, a tree in a globe, a tree in a glass cage or case. But one listener, Jerry, got in touch. And he happens to be a student in Letter Frack. And Jerry has actually made up a design for a wooden Christmas tree, which he passed on to Paul Leamy. Now, need for your information, Paul Leamy is the head of the Centre for GMIT Letter Frack. And that's the National Centre for Excellence in Furniture Design and Technology. And if anybody in the country knows how to cut wood, they do. And Paul is on the line. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm very good, Ray. Thank you.
Say hello to Niamh there.
Hello, Niamh.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Right.
Very good.
Now, Jerry is a former student of yours, Paul.
That is correct, absolutely. And Jerry heard this piece on the show yesterday and he got in touch straight away. And we said that we're definitely able to help out with this. Such a worthy cause.
Okay. So Jerry put together a sort of a design which goes into a computer, is that it?
It is indeed. So Jerry put together a 3D design for a wooden Christmas tree. And with our advanced manufacturing technology down here, we're able to put that up onto a computerized router, which will cut out the shapes of the tree. And they'll literally slot together and you'll have a life-size wooden Christmas tree, which can be cleaned and sanitized very, very easily.
Yay! What are you going to let Niamh Lynch?
Huh? That's fantastic. My Isn't Christmas has come early.
Yes, it has. What height's it going to be, Paul?
8 foot tall.
Whoa.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. So it is, yeah. It'll be a lovely piece. Our students actually made smaller models of these last year as part of one of their modules. And so making a full-size one for the children down there will just be a pleasure for us.
Ah, isn't that lovely?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose to plug my children's ward is one thing, or our children's ward, but there's lots of other children's wards.
You're cheeky.
So, well, we might be able to help out with that. So we have huge connections with the furniture and wood industry in Ireland. And when we're making this, we'll be creating a program, a CNC program, and some CAD drawings, so computer-aided design drawings. And we'll happily make them available to any other company around the country who wants them, who'd be able to run them off for okay. other such worthy costs.
What does a company need to be able to do that, Paul?
Well, if you're using a machine, it would be a CNC router, so computer numerically controlled. And, you know, you could do this by hand. You know, the outside shape could be cut manually with a jigsaw and you know, a bit of sanding.
Yeah.
Where the slot goes together, it needs to be a little bit more accurate. So that might be a bit more challenging.
OK. And Letter Frack is it's sort of a centre of excellence for furniture design.
It certainly is. Yeah, we have we have a fantastic setup down here. So we're the Letter Frack campus for the Galway Mayo Institute of Technology, and we have about 250 students on campus in our small village in the west of Ireland. And we run all sorts of programs. We have programs where we prepare students for working in the furniture industry and the wood manufacturing industry. So everything from you know, kitchen manufacture, office manufacturing, to windows, doors, yeah. stairs, hotel fit-outs, joineries, all the rest. And we also have a program then which trains students to become design and communication graphics and construction studies teachers in second level.
Great. And I believe you have 100% employment rate.
We certainly do. We're very fortunate, and even in the current times, we literally can't make enough graduates to fit the demand.
You need a CAD for that.
We do, yeah. So we have far more companies coming to us looking for our graduates than we actually have available, which is a fantastic record to have.
So this will be made from birch plywood.
It will indeed. So birch ply is a really lovely material. It's a furniture grade plywood, and you know, it's really, really durable, really strong, and when it's finished, it can look really, really well as well.
Okay. How long would it take once you load up the Jerry's computer-aided design into the computer? How long would it take to make one?
So to make it out, well, what we might do is we might even just video some of the process,
would you?
Process, and we can zap it onto you as
Brilliant. Yeah, and we'll put that up.
Yeah, brilliant. So it really doesn't take, the manufacturing doesn't take that long. The drawing will take a little while, and the manufacturing, you know, a lot of it will be cut out in an hour. The sanding and finishing then and all that will take a bit longer as well. So, right. But, you know, in general, the actual physical cutting out of the shapes, that won't take that long at all.
This is very exciting, Niamh.
I'm really excited about this. It's fantastic. It's a great idea. And I think it sounds a bit like what you were describing yesterday. Right?
Yes.
Gorgeous.
It's sort of a nicer Irish letter frack version of the one that I saw online.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's so important to encourage, you know, each other to go local as opposed to going onto the internet to try and solve our problems. So it's great.
That's brilliant. And you're going to offer out the package, the software, to other people who have the wherewithal to make these, and they can offer them out to other children's wards around the country, which is brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Great, and then we can put the lights on the tree.
Yeah.
We'll just play a little bit of this. Just a little bit of this. Stay there for a second. Here, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Come on now.
Put the lights on the tree. Put them on the tree. Put them on the tree. Put the...
There's another Christmas book in this one. We had the little owl yesterday, and now we have the 8-foot-tall wooden Christmas tree. Doesn't sound as good, but anyway. Paul Leamy from the GMIT Letterfrack National Centre for Excellence in Furniture Design and Technology. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Niamh Lynch, send us the photo when it's up in the Children's Ward in Bonsecours.
I'll put the rooster on the top, maybe.
Will you? Okay. Yeah. See you, Niamh. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Kathleen D has been on from sunny Atlanta, and she's saying the rocky road to Dublin got me rocking. Could you please say hello to all the Donoghues in Cavan and pray for Cavan, who will meet Donegal on Sunday in the championship. And Irish people pronounce throat as troth. They do, yeah. I'd be guilty of that. And we're proud of missing our H's here in Waterford. Trees are nine, not a small forest. And just heard you pronounce Cork perfectly, says Angela. Oh, thanks for your approval. Now, there's a new chaser in town on the chase, and he's Irish, and he's Dara Ennis, and he's on the line. How are you doing, Dara?
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Good. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
So it went out last night in the UK, and it went out at lunchtime here on Virgin Media One.
Yes, it did, yeah.
Right. So you're called The Menace.
I am, yeah. That's my name. That's my what most people will be calling me from now on, I think.
Yes, and are you a menacing person?
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I'm generally quite a nice person, but
right.
that's the name they gave me.
So you should have been called Rice if you wanted to have been called the Nice, because it's just that the Menace rhymes with Ennis, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's the primary reason why they had it. They wanted to call me the Professor, but I work in a university, and I said I couldn't go into work with a nickname like the Professor. That would be a bit embarrassing.
Because you're not a professor.
No, I am not.
Right, okay.
My boss is a professor.
Okay. We'll talk about what you do, your day job, in a minute. But how does it feel now? Because this has been a long time in the making, a long time in the coming, and finally it's there, it's real. You were on the telly last night and again at lunchtime today. How does it feel?
It's very surreal because, as you say, it's a long time coming. I recorded that show more than a year ago.
Right.
So it's been a long, long time. And I actually started working for the Chase, like, 2.5 years ago. So yeah, it's very weird that it's all suddenly happened, and a lot of people are contacting me, and I had to turn the notifications off my phone because it was just buzzing like crazy. Everybody sending me messages.
Yeah. The people that you hadn't heard from in years, I'd imagine.
Oh yeah, people from school I mightn't have seen for 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 years. They've all been very nice, just sort of saying congratulations and stuff. Yeah. But you're
originally from Rathcoole.
I am, yeah. So I went to Holy Family Community School in Rathcoole. I think, when did I leave there? 1998, so quite a while ago now.
Yeah, and did you go to university then locally?
Yeah, I was in Maynooth for 10 years. I did a degree and a PhD in Maynooth, and I worked there for a long time.
Okay. And you first came to the attention of the people on The Chase when you were a contestant.
Yeah, I was on the show, that recorded even longer ago, but that aired about 3 years ago. I was on the show, and for some reason, even though they were debating Article 50 in Parliament that day, I was the number one trending thing in Twitter in the UK for about 10 hours. It was ridiculous.
Oh, why so? Why were you...
Well, it was quite a controversial show, and people got very upset because I did the sort of, I got 9,000 in my cash builder and all of my team took the lower offer, and people got really mad about that.
Right. So you're obviously a fan.
Oh yeah, I love the show. I love quiz shows and I love quizzes in general. Yeah, I do like the show because it's got that nice pitch where the questions are, some of them are really easy, some of them are moderate and some of them are hard. So everybody can have a go at it.
Yeah, and then multiple choice is always good because you can shout at the telly at home.
The question writers are brilliant because they put in, you know, they put in at least one question every episode just to make Brad laugh. They put in controversial ones with like ridiculous answers you can't believe are possibly true. And it gets people talking. It's a really good show.
Yeah. And have you been on any other quiz shows on telly?
I was on one called Rebound, which was a sort of daytime show on ITV. And I came second in that. That was about a year before I went on to The Chase. And before that, my last time would have been on Saturday morning TV on RTE in about 1991. Right. I can't even remember the name of the show, but I was on a Saturday morning quiz show on RTE when I was about 10 or 11.
All right. So you have a history.
You have a bit.
You have a show reel. Yeah. So which is the most daunting, being a contestant or being a chaser?
Oh, being a contestant. Absolutely. It's so much more intimidating because you don't know what it's like, and it's very new, and you come onto the show and the cameras are there, and you know the set comes up, the music comes up, and you realize that 5 million people are going to be watching you make mistakes. So it is much more daunting being a contestant.
Is it? I would have thought you have a lot more to lose as the chaser because you're been put up there as somebody who knows things about things. Not only that, but if you lose, you cost the program makers money.
Well, first of all, it's not my money, so
you don't care. Fair enough.
So it doesn't come out of my money. So right. Big thing. But yeah, I don't get bothered about the money. Right from the start, they said, don't worry about the money. It's not a thing. We have a budget for it. You know, the whole point of the show is that we have to lose occasionally. If we won all of the time,
it'd be boring.
Really dull. And, you know, I've lost substantial amounts of money already because I've recorded quite a few shows.
Oh, have you? How did that feel?
The first time when I lost a large sum, I was a little bit nervous because I thought, you know, they're going to be mad at me. But they just said, this is going to be a great show. Loads of people will be talking about it. It makes great TV. They genuinely don't mind. They have a budget for it. And like Mark Lebet keeps really, really exhaustive statistics on the show. We win on average 3 out of 4 shows. So it's really not.
Okay. Well, what did you have to go through to become the chaser? Were you sat in a room and hundreds of questions thrown at you to see how you did?
That's exactly So when I was on the show, about a couple of days later, I got a call from one of the producers, and I thought it was my mates in Rathcoole, you know, pranking me and getting someone to call me up, but it really was them. And sorry, my dog is barking in the background.
What's his name?
Her name is Juno, and someone has knocked at the door and she's going crazy.
Okay.
They called me up and said, did you want to come in and audition? And I said, absolutely, you know, love this. And I went in and sat down and had tons and tons of questions thrown at me just to see how I do. And we did some like recordings with, you know, cameras and stuff to see how I'd fit on camera. And I did a couple of screen tests in the studio and they just picked me. It was great. But that was a 2-year process.
Right. It was long. I've seen in a number of places where you've been interviewed that you say you don't suffer with nerves. You don't get nervous.
I don't get stage fright, so I don't get worried. I'm not scared. I get a bit sort of hyped up. I like it, and I get sort of you know, a bit of an adrenaline rush. So they joke at me and laugh at me because when I'm standing at the top and waiting for the cameras to come up, I sort of bounce up and down on my heels, and it looks like I'm doing a little dance. Right. I can't dance. So it's not dancing, but I get really excited, but I'm not scared in any way. I love it. I don't get bothered by it at all.
Right. What do you do? You're in Oxford.
Yeah, so I work in the biochemistry department in the Davis lab, and we're working on trying to understand how brains work. So we want to know the molecular basis of how memories are made, how brains grow and develop. But we do that like right at the molecular level, and we use flies as a model for humans.
So do you reckon, well, you obviously do, you'll know the answer to this, but now that I'm chatting to you, right, and I've a memory of speaking to Dara Ennis, the new chaser on The Chase, so the chemical construction of my brain has changed as a result of that memory going in.
Yeah, not just chemical construction, actually, the physical construction. So if you remember something past about a minute or so, there has to have been new synaptic connections.
Right.
So the nerves have grown and connected that quickly. Your short-term memory, your really short-term memory in your brain is measured in seconds. It's not in minutes. So it's really, really quick. And the whole basis of our research is that transporting proteins and things to make those new connections is too slow for that to happen that quickly. So we're trying to figure out how those really quick connections grow, what controls that whole process. That's what we do.
Right. And what's the hypothesis?
The hypothesis is that, so you have DNA in your nucleus of your cells, and when you want to make a protein, you copy it into an RNA for the instructions. We hypothesize that those instructions, that RNA, is actually kept stabilized right at the end where your synapses are, at the end of the cell. And it is. We've proved that, so we can visualize each individual one.
So RNA is a thing we're going to hear more and more about, and it's at the heart of the vaccine from Pfizer and BioNTech and the other one from Moderna. And this week as well, it must have been exciting to be in Oxford.
Oh, yeah. So we've had another announcement from those really brilliant people on the vaccine group. So I'm only working on, you know, we're working on some COVID stuff, but we're not doing vaccines. But
okay.
They've shown that it really does work in older people, and we're just waiting on the stage 3 trials. And once that's published, then the next step is to get it regulated and produced. And a company here has said they can produce 2 billion doses in 2021 if it's approved in January.
It must be very frustrating because they can't even high five each other.
No, they can't. But the one of the leading people in it, Professor Gilbert, Jennifer Gilbert? Yeah, she's one of the leading vaccine people in the world. So if she says it's good, I'll definitely
take it. Okay. We were so proud last night when we saw Chaser Dara Ennis was introduced. However, our nerves were shattered by the time the show finished. We found we were cheering on the chaser instead of the participants, as we normally would, says Maeve. And good man, Dara. Listening from Brooklyn, New York. Well done on the show. Doing that Ennis name proud. That's Tig Ennis.
Oh, Tig.
Yeah,
I know him.
There you go. Yeah, from Raccoon as well.
I went to school with Tig.
Did you? Was there a couple of Ennises? Are you related to him?
No, we're not related. So our next door neighbours were coincidentally Ennis.
Were they?
And Tig is from a nearby village called Saggart, and he was in school with us as well, yeah.
So there was three Ennises in the class?
Three Ennises. Well, Tig was in the year below me.
Oh, really? Right. That must be confusing. Bradley Walsh is a man I would love to have a pint with, says somebody.
Brad doesn't do pints, he does cocktails, but yeah.
Okay, right, there you go, there's a bit of information for you. Saw Dara on the show today, well done. Love Bradley too, says Aina. And saw him today, and for the first time ever, I cheered for the chaser, says Frank. So yeah, you have fans there. Now, the wardrobe is important as well. Everybody has their look.
Yeah.
So your look is sort of Wild West a bit, is it?
It is a bit, yeah.
Go on, explain that to me.
So this was, when I went in, they asked me what I wanted to have as my outfit, and I was just so excited to be there. I told them I'd wear like a chicken suit or something. I didn't really care, whatever they wanted. So Sheena, the wonderful woman who's in charge of wardrobe for The Chase, made that all up herself. She just came up with the look on her own. So she got that jacket made for me.
It's sort of velvety thing, velvety paisley.
Yeah, it's a kind of velvet, sort of rough velvet paisley with like green and blue and everything in it. And then she decided she wanted a bolo tie because it would be very different from the others.
A bolo? What's a bolo tie?
You know, the cowboy tie, the two thin strips.
So it's just like a lace nearly, like a lace with a... Yeah, like a brooch.
Yeah, like the lace ties. Like you see sort of, you know, cowboys or colonels.
Yes. Right, which, and you're not a cowboy, you're not a menace, but there you go. This is your new persona,
Yeah.
Well, listen, good luck with everything. Good luck with it. And it sounds like you're really enjoying being in the spotlight and enjoying being a chaser. It all sounds good.
It's great, to be honest. Thanks very much.
And have you people still at home? Were you planning on coming home? Are you coming home? Or what are you going to do for Christmas?
As soon as there's a vaccine, I'll come home. But my parents are both older, and I wouldn't take the risk of travelling. So I'm going to have a Zoom-related Christmas with my parents. And as I think the day there's a vaccine available, I'll get it, and then I'll book a flight home.
Okay, and I'd say there's a lot of people like you. And we just have to reimagine Christmas this year. Deirdre Henchy. Says
oh, Deirdre.
Yeah, she's your cousin, you know that. But
my godmother. Yeah.
She's your godmother as well. She's very proud of you. Okay, Dara, thanks for taking the call. Good luck with everything.
Bye.
The
Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, season 4 of The Crown landed on Netflix last weekend and a lot of people binged on it, including my wife Jenny. And it features the early years of the marriage of Charles and Diana. So we thought we'd invite former BBC royal correspondent Jenny Bond onto the show today to get her take on the family that continued to fascinate the world and their depiction in The Crown. Afternoon, Jenny.
Good afternoon.
So I'm married to a Jenny.
Well, what does your Jenny think of it?
She loves it. She's completely transfixed by it and obsessed. So every available moment she has away from the two children and me, she's in watching The Crown.
It's curious, isn't it? Because we all know what happens next. We all know the story. And yet, I have to admit, I find it captivating as well, particularly because I lived through those years and reported on those years, and so it's particularly interesting for me. But generally, I think the public get terribly involved in it.
Yes, they do. You're entitled to have an opinion more than anybody. So how would you say, just overall, the depiction of the royal family is in The Crown?
Well, I think you've got to remember always that this is not a documentary. This is a drama, and it's not necessarily chronological. It's not entirely historically accurate. Robert Lacey, a colleague of mine, a royal expert, was the historical consultant and is the historical consultant on The Crown, and he's said that it is half historically accurate, but half only imaginatively so. And the idea is to use certain devices that are not historically accurate to tell a story which broadly is. And I think that is true of The Crown.
Yes, yeah. Before we get into more detail about The Crown, the Princess Diana interview with Martin Bashir is in the news at the moment. Can you just give us a brief description of what's going on?
Yeah, well, actually, 25 years ago today, a panorama programme was broadcast in which the Princess of Wales, many will remember, made some extraordinary statements and revelations about her life, notably that there were always three of us in this marriage. It was rather crowded, meaning Camilla, and that she had committed adultery with James Hewitt, and many, many other reflections on her life as a member of the royal family. It provoked a divorce. The Queen insisted that Charles and Diana should divorce afterwards. It was in his very historic broadcast. And the interviewer was Martin Bashir, a pretty unknown reporter at the time on Panorama. And it's in the news now because it is alleged that he falsified certain documents, showed them to Diana's brother and to Diana, made allegations about members of the royal family to Diana to persuade her that she should give her side of the story.
Right. So he claims that these documents did exist. They didn't have them, so they got them mocked up by graphic designers. But now, this week, or in the last 7 days, the BBC say they have a handwritten note from Diana to say that she was happy enough to take part in the interview.
Yeah, apparently there was a note from her that the BBC lost or couldn't find, but they have now located it. And Diana, perhaps she did write and say that she wasn't influenced by these falsified bank statements, which suggested that royal courtiers were spying on her, essentially. And that may be true. I mean, look, I had a number of long conversations with Diana, just the two of us, and one of those conversations happened 5 months before Panorama, so in June 1995, and I kept extensive notes about it. And in that, she told me practically everything that was in Panorama.
Right.
She used the phrase, there were three of us in this marriage,
okay,
right from the start. And so my view based on that is that perhaps she was veering towards, even at that stage 5 months earlier, giving her side of the story.
She was ready to talk.
Yeah, but I mean, I am not, if the allegations against Martin Bashir are true, I am not condoning them by any means.
Yes,
any journalist should never,
ever
falsify anything.
Was there a bit of jealousy around the fact that he got the scoop at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I was curious.
Yes,
of course, it was profoundly annoying.
Yes,
really
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, it was a kick in the teeth. But I asked Diana about it a year later. I was with her again at the palace, at Kensington Palace, and we were sitting. I said, why did you do it? And why didn't you call me? And after all our conversation, she always said, look, this is just between you and me in these four walls, Jenny, isn't it? So I kept her confidence. But when I asked her that question, she said, look, I just thought there was going to be a gagging clause. The divorce was coming. I thought I had had to get my side of the story out, and Martin was there. That's what she told me.
Mm. Do you reckon the royal family are watching The Crown?
I don't think they are, no. I expect they, on things like this, they're probably informed of it and of the views and reviews about it, but I don't think they put themselves through watching it.
Mm. So in this series, we're going to see the beginning of Diana and Charles, and then I suppose she'll come into her own in Series 5, isn't it? It'll be Series 5. Are you depicted in it at all? Do you?
Not to my knowledge, no. I wouldn't imagine I am. No. I've watched a fair bit of this one, and I am enjoying it, but I do think at the moment Charles is coming out as more of a wimp than he was. I'm not convinced by Josh O'Connor's portrayal of Charles. I think Diana is coming out in these early years of the marriage as rather stronger than she actually was. I'm not sure she stood up for herself in quite the same way as depicted in those early months.
Yes.
And I think the royal family are coming out as somewhat crueler than they were, mocking her, correcting her because she curtsied in the wrong order to the wrong people.
Yes.
I don't think they would have done that.
I suppose you need baddies and goodies, don't you, in a drama. So I'm just looking back at the timeline here. So Prince Charles met Lady Diana first when he was going out with her older sister. And she would have been, what, 16, 17, was it?
Yes, she was just 16, I think, yeah.
Right, okay. And then when they got together, what age was she?
She was 19.
19.
Just 20 when she got married.
And he would have been in his early 30s.
He's 12 years older than her,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the pressure was on, as you may remember. You know, he had to find a bride. He was in love with Camilla, but Camilla, he had dithered, gone off with the Navy on a long tour of the Caribbean. She had met this dashing cavalry officer, Andrew Parker Bowles, and married him. But the underlying passion that Charles has always had for Camilla didn't fade. But I think that he did try. I do think he tried to be faithful to Diana in the early years until, as he admitted publicly on television, it irretrievably broke down.
Because they had nothing in common and there was a big age gap. And
they had nothing in common, no. I mean, after the honeymoon, she hated all that outdoor stuff. She's portrayed in The Crown as actually going out and stalking deer with Prince Philip, which she may well have done that. She probably put on a very good show, but she was a Sloan Ranger. She loved to knock around in Kensington and Chelsea and go to the fashion shows and the fashionable restaurants. That was Diana.
And from your chats with her, how early on in the marriage do you reckon she knew that there was no future in it?
Well, she told me that she realised from very early on that Charles's love for Camilla was always going to be stronger than any marriage he might have made. But she did say, but for Camilla, I think we, Charles and Diana, we would have made a great team.
Uh-huh.
We would work well together. And she said she really had loved him. And she always said she never hated him. I never hate him, she said. She said, I think it's even worse. I'm disappointed by him.
Well, that's even worse, isn't it? Disappointment. Just telling somebody you're disappointed in them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
when you say that to your children, I'm disappointed in you. You know, you want to hurt them, don't you?
Yeah.
You do. More important things. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. No, I'm joking.
Watching that too, yes, I know. I'm very busy watching all these
things. You're very busy. Of course, you were in the jungle. How do you think Wales is comparing to Australia?
Oh, I'm so glad I was in Australia. I don't like being cold. I really don't. I think that's a torture in itself. But they all seem to be getting on very well. At least they are, I suppose, they're indoors. But I loved being outdoors. I loved going to bed by that stream in the middle of the rainforest. And it was so clean and fresh. So I had a great time. And then you could occasionally sunbathe if you could find the sun coming through the trees. So I think they're having it tougher. And I do think what they have to... I did an eating trial, but I think what they have to eat is worse than what
yes,
I had to
there's
eat.
A lot of genitalia going on there. No, thank
there,
you very much.
There really are.
Yes,
yeah, a lot of genitalia.
Yes.
I mean, I reckon they're pickled or something. I did the fish eye, the shark's eye, and that was pretty revolting.
And
but everything else was alive in those days.
Oh, was it? Oh, there was a lot of critters.
But,
yes. I think they've had to stop doing that for some reason.
But then they're, at least they're quite sort of dry, whereas the fish eye kind of... Well, it's tea time, isn't it? I shouldn't say
it. No, it's not. But here's the thing, because we were saying it at home. Like anything that sort of bursts in your mouth, I don't like. No, thank you.
No. They said it would be perfectly nice, like sort of warm yogurt. Well, I can tell you it's not.
But here's the final thing. When you were in Australia and you were voted off, you went off to a five-star hotel, did you?
Yeah, it was a five-star hotel. Yes. Versace. It was a bit over the top, to tell you the truth, I thought. But of course, I was there till the end because I was the runner-up.
So yes, yes.
I only had a night at the beginning and a night at the end,
Yeah. Okay, always very interesting talking to you. Jenny Bond, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anish Toshi, now in the Freefskate, excuse me, in Anokta, Le Kieran Afarta. Kieran, Gurum Hoggut, thanks very much. 51551 RadioRT.ie. I like Jenny. Both Jennies, I'm absolutely glued to the crown. I actually think the Queen comes out of it quite well, but Charles comes out of it desperately. That's Claire in Dublin. And Diana and Charles seem like a disaster marriage in the series. It seems they were never happy. Well, you heard what Jenny Bond said. This pandemic has brought out a huge amount of kindness in our society. Letterfrack's response is so uplifting, says Sheila. Well, thanks to Jerry and Paul from Letterfrack, we're going to get a COVID-friendly tree in the children's ward of the Bon Secours down in Cork. I've been to Letterfrack, now part of GMIT, a few times to view the end of year student display. That is a wonderful exhibition of mastercraftsmanship in woodwork, says Mary. And while you're on the subject of words and pronunciations, many people, including presenters, pronounce GAA as in G-A-A. G-A-A. As opposed to G-A-A. G-A-A. It's annoying, says Mary. The problem is when things like that start to annoy you, you only hear those. You know, it'd be great if we could free ourselves of all those little annoyances, because there are more important things to be annoyed with and worried about, and all, as you well know. Press the button. Thank you. It's time for our quiz of today. I'm sure that annoys some people, do I say that? Today is the 20th of November, and we have 10 questions on things that have happened on this day over the years and the centuries and the decades. A great prize as well, two nights stay at Ballinahinch Castle Hotel. It's out there in Connemara on 700 acres of pristine wooded grounds and has a great landscape garden. You can find out more at ballinahinchcastle.com. There's loads of activities there. On the line we have Karina Thompson. How are you doing, Karina?
Ray!
Lovely! Hello. Oh, I love that. Ray! I love the way you said Ray!
Sure, why not?
Yeah, it sounds like you're running through a meadow in the middle of summer with a nice flowy, flowery dress.
Well, not with the dress, but I do live in a lovely part of Ireland.
Do you?
So, and I feel...
Whereabouts? Whereabouts?
The sunny side. Great.
Kilkenny?
Yes, sir.
So you're just on the southern tip of Kilkenny, is it?
I'm right on the border, Kilkenny, Waterford. So if I want my post delivered the next day, it'll be a Waterford. But if I put down Kilkenny, I have to wait 2 days. So Irish.
Yeah, with a big O, a big O-I-R-I-S-H. Yeah. So you, where are you there then? What's the address?
Kilmacow.
Ah, the poor cow. You've teenagers and they're very good at shouting the answers at the radio.
Absolutely not. The opposite. Vampires.
Right.
They only come out at night time to be fed, and that's the only time you see them.
Okay, right. How did you get on through lockdown?
Oh, Ray, I loved it. I just fell back in love with the countryside again, and if Bloom are listening, I'm ready for you.
So you've done the garden. You've done the garden.
I have done the garden. I'm actually out here deadheading at the moment, because the thing I found about gardening during the epidemic was that everyone gets annoyed, but gardening is so forgiving. You kill something and then it comes back again.
Very good. Now listen, will you stop walking around your garden, because you're breaking up. So wherever you are now, if you could just stay in that position. Would be great.
Jesus, if anyone is listening to this, they know that'll be hard for me today. Go on,
right, okay, right. You're up against Sean Mead, who's in Carrigonshuer, which is not too far away. How are you doing, Sean? No,
I'm fine, thanks, Ray.
I'd say if you shout loud enough, Karina would probably hear you there.
She probably could if I opened the window.
Yeah.
Sean, open it a bit further then.
What's your story, Sean?
Ah, sure. Retired for, 4 years now.
Yeah.
And, the lockdown is kind of, you know, you just have to do what it says on the tin and hope for the best.
Yeah. You get out for a walk, which is hugely important.
I go for a walk most days. Yeah. And up the riverbank here in Carrick, it's up, you know, towards Clonmel, in fact, that direction. And
that's nice. And who's at home with you?
My wife, Sheila. Well, she's not here now. She's in, where she's gone, gallivanting, but anyway.
Right, okay.
And we have one daughter in Dublin, married there, and two, that's a daughter and a son, in Manchester. They're about 15 minutes from one another.
Right. And what's going to happen around Christmas? I'm sure there were plans made, were there?
Well, there were. The thing is that what we normally did was that we stayed home one Christmas over to Manchester the second. Over and back. Now, we were due to go to Manchester this year and we'd booked the flights way, way back, so we just cancelled everything, that's all.
Yeah. Everyone understands, don't they?
Because I think I'd like to see more understanding. I mean, I think that it has to be done. We have to sort it out, you know what I mean?
But I suppose, and this is, like, you know, I better be careful how I phrase this, but the only people you hear are the people who are given out. Like, there's so many other people like you who are just going about their business, keeping it quiet, you've cancelled your flights, you know, and you're sort of resigned to the fact that this is the way it's going to be this year.
Well, I was keeping it quiet until now.
There you go. So I believe you were on the phone today and you hit the wrong button. What happened there?
Oh, yeah, my daughter did a FaceTime call this morning. And my grandson is in Dublin. He's not 2 yet. And the other girl that they have, Nora, she's in play school. So she was out. So the thing is that I hit the wrong button and I went and called her back. Now, not only did I do it once, but I did it a second time.
Right.
So anyway, so I had a chance to see John there at that stage, and that was great.
I'm sure you FaceTime all the time, do you?
Oh yeah, every day. Yeah. And Sheila's never off the phone between the two in Manchester. And
oh, that's great. So you keep in contact.
It's great crack. Yeah, I know it is. Yes, it's great fun.
Right. Now, Karina in Kilkenny and Sean in Carrigan-shore, County Tipperary. You're up against each other. 5 questions each. I need the answers as quick as possible. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If we
good luck, Karina. Take care of yourself. So we could go together if you like.
Do you know what? It's my birthday next week. I'll bring you as my plus one.
I think Sheila might have something to say. You wouldn't know. She might be glad to get rid of me.
It was news to Sheila. Okay, right. Karina, first question for you. On this day in 1981, Burundi adopted its constitution. On what continent is Burundi?
Asia.
No, it's Africa. It's Logo. Africa, right. Sean, early days, Karina, don't fret. Sean, on this day in 1986, Afghanistan President Babrak Karmal fled the country. On what continent is Afghanistan?
Asia.
Asia's the correct answer there, yes.
Good,
there you go. Karina, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
So, this is where they keep the old relics, then, eh?
I'll have you know, this is where our most cutting-edge technology is developed.
Point taken.
On this day in 2002, Die Another Day, the 20th James Bond film was released. Can you name the actor you heard there who played James Bond?
Oh, I'm not doing well here at all. It's Sean Connery?
No, it's Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan.
Oh,
there with
Navin.
Yeah,
sorry,
with
Pierce,
John Cleese,
sorry.
Yeah. Okay, Sean, another audio one for you. Have a listen. On this day in 1943, American actor Veronica Hamill was born in Philadelphia. For many years, she played Joyce in that police drama series you just heard the theme tune from. Can you name the series?
Hill Street Blues.
Is the correct answer, yeah. Composed by Mike Post. He did Magnum PI and Rockford Files and other ones as well. He was the go-to man for theme tunes for TV shows. Now, Karen, we need you. Not Karen, Karina. Karina, we need you. So, just to stay in it, you have to answer this one correctly. Your third question. On this day in 1942, President-elect Joe Biden was born. Happy birthday, Joe. Who was he previously vice president to, Karina?
Donald Trump.
No.
Oh, Jake, I have a mug. I'm happy with a mug.
You see, I know what happens, and I was saying it yesterday as well. You don't listen to the question, you know. And so the question was, who was he previously vice president to? So who was he vice president to? And the answer is Barack Obama.
You go.
Now, Karina, we're sending you out a mug.
I love a mug. Thank you very much.
I tell you what, I'm just doing this one more time. This is the last time I'm doing it. But because you were such a good sport, I'm going to send you out two.
Go on.
That's it. Because you're a great sport and it's Friday and the weekend's here, so enjoy those.
An embarrassment. Sorry to my family for that.
He could get the next three wrong. Oh, right.
He could.
Oh, he could. You're still in it.
You're
still in
the gun, I think, a little.
Yes. Yeah,
hey,
you mentioned
Sean,
the mug, Karina. You mentioned the mug. I'm a mug for listening to you. Okay. Right, Sean. Yeah, Neil is right. Okay. Okay. On this day in 1925, Sean, former US United States Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy was born. What was his president brother's name?
John F.
Yeah, Kennedy. There you go. And you'd have to know it down where you are. There you go.
Oh, Sean's questions, but that's no good. I'm happy with my mug.
That's no good, yeah. Do you want a bit of this? Just see if you can spot this, just so you deserve the second mug. Who's that?
Dolly.
No, it's Tammy Wynette. Did you hear wrong? Okay. 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 Who's this? Who's this? Like a rhinestone
cowboy. And Jesus Ray, how old am I?
Oh, you're 48. 46.
Yes!
That's Glenn Campbell. Right, you're great sports, the 2E. You're off to Ballinahinch Castle.
Well done, Sean.
Sean Mead. And
thanks a million, Karina. Take care. That doesn't give me brownie points.
No. Okay. Have a great weekend, both of you. Mind yourselves and stay safe.
Okay. Take care.
Good luck. Bye.
On RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Our next guest has sold more than 30 million records worldwide. He's an actor, a singer, a songwriter. He's performed alongside stars including Beyoncé, Celine Dion, Andrea Bocelli, Barbara Streisand. He's on TV. He starred in The Simpsons, Ally McBeal, Glee, Muppet Movies, Muppet TV programs. Is there anything this man can't do? And he has a new album out today called Harmony. It is Josh Groban. Yay!
I can't dance.
Oh, he can't dance. The man can't dance.
Not even remotely.
Oh, that's a pity. I thought you could do everything, Josh.
And considering that I was a musical theater student, yes. You know, I'm thank goodness for the whole music thing, because I really would have had a hard time getting any roles.
Can you learn to dance?
You know, of course you can learn anything, really. And I've got rhythm. I can play the drums and you know, I do make music. So I understand a tempo and a beat. But, you know, I'm just shy. I'm just a little shy is all right.
Yeah, I think I can look. I can see you 5 years, 6 years time. Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, Josh Groban.
Maybe. You know, it was a few bad proms in my high school life that just kind of carried with me through the rest of my adult life.
I see. So there's trauma there around dancing.
Just a little bit. But I didn't know this would turn into therapy.
Did somebody mock you, Josh?
Oh, you know, I just had to do a lot of like thumbs in the pockets, kind of nodding to myself in the corner, you know. I built character.
You've made me feel guilty now, because as a family, what we used to do after the local discos, we'd go home, right, and we'd sit around the kitchen table and people would get up and mock, well, not mock, but impersonate people's dances. Did you see Johnny?
Yeah.
Did you see the way he danced? Listen, it's great to talk to you. Well done on Harmony.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I can't believe I even got to make an album right now.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I played just a clip of your lovely duet with one of my favourite songs of all time with Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah,
let's have a listen to this. Love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. It's a beautiful version. It's a really beautiful
version.
Thank
you very much. Well, it's, you know, Sarah Bareilles is just such an amazing friend and such an incredible artist. And we both love Joni Mitchell, love that song. It's a song about perspective, you know, and I was a bit afraid to sing it because I thought, you know, maybe I didn't have the life experience yet, but I think we've all had enough experience these last 10 months to last two lifetimes. And it's a song that's meant a lot to us right now, for sure.
Yeah. And you were saying just before I played that it's a wonder that you made the album at all. And there are a couple of songs that you wrote yourself during lockdown, because mainly covers.
Yeah.
But The Face, and In Fullness, is that they're the two?
Your Face and The Fullest. Yeah.
Yeah,
so close. But yeah, we...
sorry. But no cigar. I do apologize.
No, people come to me on the street. People come to me on the street and they'll say, listen, man, I love that song. You Carry Me High. I go, thank you. Yes, you nailed it. And you're that actor, Josh Brolin, right? Yes, that's me. I'm in those superhero movies. Yes. Got it. Hey, yeah. Look, press is press.
I've seen you in L.A. Law. You're brilliant in L.A. Law.
Exactly. Yeah. But I wasn't expecting to write at all. I wanted to sing these classic songs forever. And this was going to be a covers record. That was the goal. But, you know, you sit around for 8 months in your pajamas and you have a piano and, you know, the world is in chaos around you. And I write like almost as therapy. I didn't expect anybody to hear these songs. And just the fact that they came to fruition and then the label said, look, these feel relevant for right now. And I know it was supposed to be this kind of a record, but every project's had to do a 180. So go ahead and put them on. I'm thrilled. It's a great, you know, it's a bright spot in an otherwise dark year.
Yeah.
For me.
So we'll play a bit of your face as opposed to their face.
Sure. Let's make it generic.
Ah,
Ray, yeah. Your face is the face to me.
Yeah. That would be the face to me. I was watching a clip because I was doing a bit of research and I was looking at various clips. We'll get back to the Muppets in a moment. Around the time you were in The Muppets Most Wanted, which is a brilliant cameo, Yamaha presented you with a Kermit the Frog green piano, as in it was Kermit's green. And there's a little clip of you talking about the piano and talking about being in the movie. And there's Sweeney, your dog, walking around.
My sweet Sweeney.
Did you bring him everywhere?
I did. You know, he was the best. He was, my first real pet that I ever had that was mine, my real, you know, real responsibility. And just got him when he was 3 months old. And we went on 5 tours together. And, you know, he's been on every stage in the country and traveled with me to so many incredible memories. And he got me through some really, really dark times. And, you know, this year has been, you know, hard for a whole lot of other reasons, but not the least of which has been, losing my best friend. But but we had a lot of amazing memories. Anybody who's had a dog as a pet, you know, it's just the best.
And what age was he when he died, Josh?
16. He had a real good long life. I fed him. I fed him nerd food. You know, it kept him healthy, and you know, just I was probably a helicopter parent, but he was a little terrier. He's an Irish terrier. He's made of good stuff.
Yeah, lovely looking dog. And a lot of people, I don't know if it's the same over where you are, but a lot of people got dogs during lockdown because for a number of reasons, they needed company. And secondly, a lot of more people were working from home, so they felt they could have a dog. So you must have missed them terribly during lockdown, did you?
I did. I mean, it still hasn't been that long. I mean, it's he passed away in August. So,
all right.
So I had him for a huge part of lockdown for me was actually taking care of him because he was starting to slow down quite a bit. And so, you know, a lot of my purpose during this time while I was home was just making sure that he was as healthy as he could have been and comfortable and, you know, but it's the routine. You know, I think for people who've had, you know, a pet for so long, it just leaves a void when you don't have that routine every day. And so that was, I think, the hardest thing has been getting used to that.
Okay, two questions about Sweeney. Have you written a song about him?
I actually am in the works of a song that's been inspired by him, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, will probably be on the next record.
Okay, and I'm sure loads of your friends and family have been saying, you know, you need to get another dog,
what they've all actually said to me is that, you know, when it's the right time, it'll be the right time, and I think it's a long time to have a dog that you love that much, and when it feels right, it'll feel right.
You'd probably feel disloyal at the moment if you got another one.
Yeah. Just needs a little more time.
Okay. How many songs have you recorded?
In my whole career?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, we got to be closing in on close to 100, I would imagine, at this point. I mean, you know, I think this is my 9th or 10th album, and every time we do an album, there's always, you know, some extra songs that we love just as much, but didn't fit the continuity of the album. So we always find ways to pop those in throughout the year. And now with streaming and things like that, there's really no wrong time for a good song. You can just come up with anything, anytime. So, I've spent more time in the recording studio now than probably any other room in my house.
And is there any songs that you were, because you mentioned about Both Sides Now, that you felt that maybe you may not have had enough life experience to sing that song. Are there any songs that you're afraid of, you know, for whatever reason?
Certainly some of the songs on this album, you know, when they first made it to the list, I was tentative because, you know, it's actually harder to sing a classic song than it is one that you've written yourself, even though it's very vulnerable and it's personal and you want people to like it. You know, you take on a song like Both Sides Now or First Time Ever I Saw Your Face was another one that I just said, oh, do I really have what it takes to do this? I mean, I am my own worst critic and I have to go through a maze in my head of all the whys of is this necessary before I find a way to do it. And I have to give a shout out to all the arrangers and the orchestrators for any of us that are singers, whether it's me or Sinatra or Buble or anybody else. You know, we have incredible arrangers that give us the color, that give us the palette to say, you know, this is something unique to be done with this song. And so a lot of times that will give me the confidence, but you know, sure. There are songs and that are, you know, a mile long that I when, you know, when I'm later on in my life, I'll take them on.
And people don't know this, but you don't have to seek somebody's permission. But like, there's a Robbie Williams song on the album.
Yes,
you must have met Robbie over the years, have you?
I have. Yeah, just briefly though. You know, just at various, you know, industry events and things like that. And you know, he's spent a large part of his time in Los Angeles where I live. So I would run into him now and again. And, you know, always very shy, of course, because he's such a legend. But, I mean, could not have been nicer. Every time that I've met him, he just has no pretension. He's so sweet.
And do people will he contact you? Will he contact you now about your version of Angels? Do you think?
Well, you know, it's scary. You know, when you put out a classic song, you want the person
to like
they don't have to like it. They want to like it, but at the very least, you want them to be okay with the fact you're releasing it. And so I'm thinking to myself, because Angels is a modern classic, and that song got me through so many hard times in high school. And so I'm thinking, oh man, I hope he doesn't, you know, I hope he doesn't slag this off. I hope he thinks this is okay. And then I saw the tweet. He tweeted, I saw that ding, ding, ding. Friends are telling me Robbie retweeted the song. I'm going, oh my God, that's incredible. And then ding dong. 5 dozen roses appeared at my front door, and in typical legend fashion, you know, I didn't even know he had my address. A little creepy, but I'm thrilled. and just the sweetest. He sent over a bouquet of flowers, and you know, that's how you know. You know, it's somebody is in this business as long as he is. It's very nice.
Great song, great version of a great song.
Yeah.
Harmony is the new album out now from Josh Groban. Glad to hear Josh is coming on. His new album, Harmony, is out today. His live stream concerts have kept me going during lockdown. I'm his biggest fan. I love the purity, the power and the passion of his voice, says Colette.
Thank you.
And my son, Patrick Darcy, played Ilan Pipes on Josh's album, says that person. And I first
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I first saw Josh Groban on Oprah Winfrey when he was 17 years old, and I knew that he'd go places, Mary Miller.
Oh, very
listen,
sweet.
Like you and the Muppets are brilliant. You were made for the Muppets. And
well, I mean, anybody who's seen my hair in the early 2000s knows that I fit right in.
I was going through the computer, and you've recorded at least probably more, but at least you've recorded 3 contemporary Irish songs. You Raise
Have,
Me Up
yes.
was written by an Irish man.
Run, yes, that's right, Brendan
Snow
Graham.
Patrol, yeah,
that's right,
and Galileo, Declan O'Rourke.
That's right, yeah. And also She Moves Through the Fair, which is another more of a traditional song.
Yes,
but always been, you know, I don't need to tell you some of the most gorgeous melodies, some of the most incredible and powerful songs have come from your beautiful country. And every time I visit, I feel like I take a little piece back with me in my heart, and I'm always inspired to sing that music.
Yeah. We were talking to the Chieftains earlier on the week. There's rumours about them playing at the Joe Biden inauguration. Then there was an announcement of a violin player from County Louth. She's been confirmed.
Great.
Have you got a call or?
I've not gotten the call, but if the Chieftains need a really, really bad Illan pipe player, I can help you with that. My bag has sprung a leak, but I can play two notes. I can play two notes. They're beautiful. They're beautiful notes, but then everything after that octave has gone to hell. But I'm gonna keep my lessons going.
That's big news.
Maybe Patrick can help me.
Josh Groban has a set of Illan pipes. Josh, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Harmony is the new album available now. The next time you're in town, you might come in and talk to us and sing for us. Thanks, Josh. Thank you very much.
I would love it. Cheers. Bye. Have a great day.
That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back on Monday. And, of course, The Den on Sunday, 6:30 on RTE1. We will see you then.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.